God makes God insincere. I'm striving with you to come to me, but you can't come to me. It's an insincerity to strive to say, come to me when they can't come. Can man resist the Holy Ghost? Calvin says, no, man cannot resist the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost says, yes, man can resist the Holy Ghost. Acts 7:51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. And I'm going to read one more scripture. Revelation 2:20 and 22. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, to be things sacrificed to idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication. I gave her grace, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into tribulation, and so forth. Okay, that finishes that section. Thank you.
All right, let's try to get settled down to where we can get moving right along, because we're going to need all the time that we have and more.
Yes, this is my Ezekiel Daniel test. You gave us a take-home test.
Yeah.
Due today.
Yeah.
This is it. I'm not in class on Friday. I have to teach.
You mean this next time? You mean next time?
Well, you got
that's now.
Yeah. Well, 11 o'clock.
You won't be here.
Right.
After the class.
I have to teach. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
All right.
I'm going to hand it in to you.
Okay. All right. First of all. First of all, I want you to get a sheet of paper, and I want to give you another test. I wanted you to take. You're going to be here today? Psalm, but not in Ezekiel. Oh, okay. I'm going to give you another test right now, and therefore get you a sheet of paper. I haven't been able to get this typed up and where I could hand it to you, but I'll give you another one. I've neglected and haven't been able to get to you in the matter of Psalms, trying to get through, but I will give you one or two. And you won't be graded altogether on these tests that we're taking now anyway. Psalms are very difficult in that respect. Which one are you going to ask? There's everything in there so tremendous, and most of it is just statements of blessing and fact and revelation, but it's kind of a hard thing to give tests on, in a way. But on your paper, put on there Psalms, test number 3, and file number 7. And the date today is the 5th, isn't it? 5-5. All right. Test paper, and we're going to have a little short test right here first. Then we're going to take up the other test paper. Before we hope we'll have a little time to go back into the Psalms also. If not, we will next week have a little time to go on with those. Number one, write down just what I give you. Thou breakest the heads of the dragon, ... because, and of Leviathan. Thou breakest the heads of the dragon and of Leviathan. They are right there close together, but not right together. In pieces. Thou breakest the heads of the dragon and of Leviathan in pieces. Psalm 74, verses 13 and 14. What does this mean? Very simple, very easy. Leave about 2 spaces. That's all you'll need for that. Number 2, if I go too fast, you let me know. Number 2, Psalm 78:25. Give the correct reading, comma. And explain angels' food in parentheses. In quotation, I meant to say. Angel food in quotation, because that's what the Bible says. I want you to give the correct reading of that saying, and then explain angels' food. And now in parenthesis, in the light of John 6:32-33, ... and in the absence, that's understood, and the absence of the word angels, ANGEL'S, in the Hebrew. The absence of the word angels in the Hebrew. The Hebrew doesn't say angels, so what should it be? Give the correct reading and explain angels' food. What should it say? And what's the meaning? In the light of John 6:32-33, and the absence of the word angels in the Hebrew. That's not difficult. Leave yourself about 2 spaces. And now number 3. Who are, quotation, all ye gods? All ye gods, in quotation. Who are all ye gods? Of Psalm 97:7. And that'll take only one line. Just number 4. Psalms 109:8. Who is this speaking of? That's very simple. You've had it before. See if you remember. Retain it. That is one space. Number 5. What is the connection between the 176 verses in the 22 stanzas of the 119th Psalm What is the connection between the 176 verses in the 22 stanzas of the 119th Psalm and the declaration in Revelation 1:8? What's the connection? And if you see it, if you understand it, if you know what it's talking about, if you know why it's there, you know how it's built, you know what it's for, you know what it does, then it'd be easy to make the connection. And I made the connection for you. Now you have... Is there someone that did not get the first one or two? Did you get those? All right. You can get them from me if you want to, right here. And the rest of you, I'll give you about 20, I'll give you about a half an hour. Half an hour. Use your books, use your notes, and take it right now. What? You don't have your notes? Well, you should know these anyway. I mean, you should be able to do this without your notes. I'm only giving you that extra. Now, you're at a disadvantage with... compared to the other student, but I should give you this without any notes or Bible. You should know it anyway, except for the fact that I did not write it all out. Therefore, you need your Bible to go and read it. That's what you need most, is your Bible. Just read what it says and then tell me what I ask you. But if you have your notes, it will also tell you what I told you, so you'll have no excuse for not knowing the answer if you look at your notes. Now, what I'm concerned is, do you have it in your notes? Did you hear it? Did you believe it when you heard it, or have you forgotten it? Pardon? Yes? Yes, that's your problem. You're losing the time by not having them. I'm not trying to make this difficult for him. I'm trying to make it easy. But you should be able to answer these without your notes. I mean, I can't expect you to. You've got lots of things to think about. And you hear lots of things. You read lots of things. So it's difficult. So I make it as easy as I can for you, because if you've got them in your notes, if you've got them written in your Bible, or if you can look at it in your Bible and look and see what it says and then remember what it is, that's sufficient. If you don't do any of that, if you can't do any of that, then you haven't done so well. And because I haven't been giving you tests all along in this, which I would like to have done and would have done and wanted to do, you won't be graded entirely upon this. You've been faithful. You've enjoyed it. I can just tell from the looks on your face you were getting something. And from the questions you ask and from the things that you say, I know you've been getting something. Now, you get along with these as fast as you can, and I'll question you, and if you get through, or practically everyone is through earlier than I said, then we'll go back on into our other lesson. We won't waste that time. And if some one or two of you just don't happen to have it, well, we can't just wait on you. You should do this in about 15 minutes. I may give you another one. In fact, I intend to give you another one Monday as the last one. So have your Bible and your notes with you. I wonder if I should pull this switch during this time or not. Should I save that? Just let it go. Thanks, and I'll get them back to you. You want them back? You have about 5 minutes left. Is everybody about done? How many are not done? Well, get along, because little doggies be. Be sure that your name is on them, the date is on it. Test number 3 is on it, file number 7.
Actually, you don't need a file number.
Pardon?
You don't really need a file number for this, Russ. That's been typed up.
Well, it all depends. I'm going to leave a record of it in the file.
Yeah,
whether or not and how. In fact, I'm having some others made up that I didn't get, just so that you could have in some of the other class at least. I don't know what I'll do with these. Finish up in a hurry there now, because we're going to close right now, and then we're going to check them right now. Don't check them right now so that I can get them into the book. Probably have one more about like this, perhaps Monday, just to give me little more. That'll give you a little more room to pick up, because you have to miss some here. And the grades will not be all together on this anyway, either one of them. All right, I think we better call it enough now. If you don't have them by this time, you probably can't get it. So let's everybody take the paper now and do this. And a lot of you are not doing this. Some of you never have done it. Write in on these the correct answer, or at least enough of it so that you know what the answer is. Because some of you, if you don't do that, then looking at them later on, you won't know what's all about, what was answered originally. Do write in if you did not get it correct. Now break us the heads of the dragon and of Leviathan in pieces. 74:13-14. What does this mean? The dragon and Leviathan is speaking of their enemies, the nations, the heathen power, those that are under the influence of Satan, like the dragon, for instance, here, and Leviathan, Egypt, for instance, and Pharaoh of Egypt. And then it carries right on through to all of the rest of the Antichrist kingdom. But in the Psalms, he's speaking about those mostly of the past, but it also refers to finally the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Grecians and the Romans, right down to the end, the same thing. But he's got old Babylon back there especially, and partially in the Assyrian and the nations of the land there when they took over in the land. Now break at the heads of the dragon and of Leviathan. See, the dragon indicates that their enemy, Satan powered nations that have hindered God's people. Old Babel in the beginning, And then Leviathan is that great Leviathan, the biggest thing in the ocean. Means the greatest of nations in the world. That's what Leviathan in particular has respect to. The greatest of the nations, like the whales, the great whales, or the great dragons of the sea, whatever there are or were or ever might have been. In old time even, when they may have had much greater things, like they had dinosaurs and pterodactyls and all that sort of thing on the land, they also may have had other greater dragons and other things in the sea that have also disappeared. But that's what he's likening them to. The greatest of the things in the sea, because the sea represents the world. And therefore those nations, God breaks the heads of all these Satan motivated powers that have exercised themselves against God and against his people and have sought to build themselves a tower under heaven, make their own religion and all that sort of thing, and got all their heathen gods and worship them. That's what it's talking about. Now, if you got that meaning, you got that right, and in the midrash you did. Now, you give yourself a proper grade according to whether or not you got that meaning. And then in Psalm 78:25, put down the grade, and then I want you to count up your ones you got right and put them at the top of the page as what you think you should get on the test. I'm still having you learn to check your own as though it were somebody else. Pardon? One for each one, or a half if you think you've got worthy of a half. Psalm 78:25. Give the correct reading. Now, the correct reading, as is given to you, according to the Hebrews, was that men did eat angels' food. Men or man did eat angels' food. Or, as it's variously translated, if you happen to be reading in some other translation, all of them ate angels' food, or every one of them ate angels' food. But the correct word there is not angel, because the word angel is not there. It's the food of the mighty, the bread of the mighty. Some of them, the food there is actually bread in the Hebrew. The bread of the mighty. Men did eat the bread of the mighty. Is the correct reading, and is given in your margin in the
Thompson Chain,
at least, and in Rotherham, and some of the others are in the Greek or Septuagint or some places. They will have others. Now here's what it also says. In fact, I think you'll find that in Rotherham, he gives you a note on that down there, doesn't he? What does he say? And how does he translate?
Because it's mighty.
Pardon?
Because it's mighty.
Mighty. All right. And then, what does he say?
He says angels up in the notes. It's angels. Oxford Descendants comparing this place with Psalms 103:20.
They're just comparing with some other scripture and therefore substituting angels. But the word angels is not there. In other words, this is the only place in the Bible that word abir in the Hebrew is translated angel. See? And therefore, it doesn't. The original meaning of that was not angel. Not angel. It was mighty. And we find that the mighty in other places, and that refers to the sons of God. And the word mighty also is translated many times from the word Elohim. Now they ate angels' food, but angels, there's no indication that angels ever ate manna or anything like that, you see. But what was it? Some say just because it came from heaven, but that isn't sufficient to call it angels' food, because it came from heaven.
But Jesus himself did come from heaven. He was that manna. Amen. He was that manna. Your fathers gave you not, or Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. I am the bread, the true bread which cometh down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and were dead. That was only a type of that true bread which came down from heaven. That was Christ. But he was a son of God. He's the perfect son of God. Therefore, he could give himself for them to eat. Therefore, my body is flesh indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eats my flesh shall live. You see? And so, in communion, we say, he says, this is my body. But his body has reference also to all of the saints. But Jesus was that true bread which we all are made partakers of. And that's what they were doing back there. The sons of God back there. All Israel. They all ate of it, see? Of that same bread. That same bread. They all ate of the same bread and drank of the same drink. Typically. And it was a miraculous thing. It was ordained of heaven. It was not earthly food. It was something supernatural for the sons of God. It was a miracle for the sons of God, prepared for them in the wilderness. Not for angels to eat, but for them in the wilderness, that they might have somewhat to eat. And that was their main source of life. It was that bread that they ate, that manna, as long as God left it there. And it was of such a nature, they couldn't keep it, they couldn't hold it over, they couldn't find it on the Sabbath day. Very different, you see. And that's what it is. The correct reading is that man ate the food of the mighty, the sons of God, and of that perfect Son of God especially, which was Christ. And that's the rendering, and that's what I tried to tell you before, and that's what John 6:32-33 tells you. And the word angels is nowhere else in the Bible. That word is never translated angels, and ought not to have been angels here.
The Hebrew word
A-B-B-I-R. This is the only place that's ever translated angel. And the word angels, any other place, is never used this word. Never do. So the proper translation of the thing is that, first of all, use it as it is properly supposed to be used. And in translating a thing, take it for what it says, first of all. Then if it won't work, then if it seems it can't possibly be that, and that's why they changed it. They thought it couldn't possibly be because they didn't understand it. They didn't know how it could be because Jesus had never been revealed, never been manifested, and they did not know. But there's no evidence, either for them or anybody else, that angels ever did eat of man. There's no such thing. But the word actually says, Abir, the mighty. And the mighty, in all the scriptures there, on most every place, are the sons of God. All right, number three. Who are all ye gods? In Psalm 97:7. Worship him, all ye gods. Who is he commanding and demanding and exhorting to worship him? There are no other gods. Any other gods are no gods. And they are not dead gods. They never were alive. See, there's another place in there that says that they sacrificed and they ate the sacrifices of the dead when they went over to Baal Peor and went over with the Moabites under Balak. They ate the sacrifices of the dead. And most translators will tell you that was their gods, their idols. It couldn't have been them because their idols are not dead. They never were alive. They can't be dead if they never were alive. there are no gods. But they're eating the sacrifices of those who are dead in trespasses and sin, heathen, like the New Testament, like Ephesians 1 and 1 and 2 tells you. You were led astray under these dumb idols and were dead in trespasses and sins. Now you've been brought to God, you see, dead. Wake thou the sleepers, rise from the dead. It's that dead that he's talking about. Because those people back there had gone away from God. They, when they knew God, they honored him not as God, became foolish in their own imagination, and God gave them over to their own ways, and they worshiped their idols. They are dead. They're separated from God. The idols can't be separated from God. They never were with God. They're gods which are no gods. They can't be that, you see. And so here, all ye gods, here the word is Elohim. Elohim. And it's not judges, because the word judges is nowhere Elohim. Elohim is nowhere judges. Now, there is a place in the Bible where Elohim is translated judges, but it's just as wrong as angels is here. It doesn't mean judges. The word judges, only in those four places, at that one place, is called that because they're bringing them before these who have been chosen and appointed and are of God to be a judge among the people, because they have not access to God. God has to have mediators. He has to have judges among men. But actually what it said there, in fact, maybe I should leave that and give it to him in just a few minutes, because I think I just now saw something else that asked that, and I'll tell you what I've done with that. These gods are Elohim. Elohim. And that's God of gods. God of gods. Or gods in the sense of a changed people, but a people who are predestined to be, and people who are already, because of God's purpose in them, because they are His children and are predestinated to be like Him. They're made a little while lower, inferior to the Elohim, just a little while, but they are already from the beginning chosen to be sons of God. Not sons of Adam, sons of God. Therefore I said, ye are gods, not judges. Gods. So here, likewise, they are the sons of God who can worship Him, who are called to worship Him, always. And always will. Psalm 109:8. Who is this speaking of? Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. That's all there is to that. You either got it right or you got it wrong. What is the connection between the 176 verses and the 22 stanzas of the 119th Psalm and the declaration of Revelation 1:8. Now, the 176 verses in the 22 stanzas, there are 22 stanzas because there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Therefore, everything in those speaks of everything that there was under the Jewish economy, and then the whole word of God of the Old Testament to His people, and forever to His people. The 176 verses, which correspond to the 8 lines to a stanza, so that they're perpetuated clear into eternity, and 8 of them, not just what's in the book, but it's forever. It's forever. Forever thy word is settled in heaven. Therefore there's 8 lines to stand rather than 7, which would mean all of His word. 176, in every one of them you find out that it's exalting the word. It's honoring, glorifying, exalting the word in some form, as a commandment, as a statute, as a judgment, as a precept, all the way through. So that when Jesus in Revelation 1:8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, because now that's given there in, comes to us in Greek. Yet to the Jew, it's saying, I am the Aleph Tau, the Hebrew alphabet. I am all there is in the Greek alphabet. I am the A and the Z in the English alphabet. And any other nation that has an alphabet, it's from their beginning to their end too. God, as far as His Word is concerned, in His Word, in any language, and Jesus is that Word. Therefore, that whole psalm is magnifying Jesus, who is the Word of God, which was God and was manifested in the flesh and dwelled among us, and is to be glorified forever, and given a name which is above every name, both in heaven and in earth. And God's Word, Jesus is the living Word, His Word is forever settled in heaven, both His spoken Word, His written Word, His living Word, and God Himself, forever settled in heaven. The connection, therefore, between them is that Jesus, that 119th Psalm is regarding the Lord Jesus Christ as the Word of God, and God's Word through the law, through the prophets, through the angels, and by His own mouth speaking, thus saith the Lord through the Spirit. That connection between them. All right, add those up, the ones you've got correct, put it at the top plainly, and pass them forward so I can have them given in the book. Quickly as you can, and our time is just about up. We're not going to get very far, but I will pick up some of these others. For instance, while you're doing that, in Psalm 91:11, He shall give His angels charge over thee. Someone says, how do you feel this applies to us? Since we have power in Jesus' name, do we need angels so much? Yeah, we do. And we've got them, thank God. His angels, these children, every one of my, these little ones of mine, if anyone offend them, because they're angels, do always behold the face of your Father which is in heaven. God has always used them for your good. They are sent to be ministers unto them who are to be heirs of salvation. You still need their help and their care. That's the way Jesus does help you. The power in His name is only through all what He's doing. And His angels are fighting for you. His angels are fighting for us over in Vietnam. His angels fought for us down in Persia, Babylon. God has always used all the forces and resources of heaven to help His people. So we have that same and need that same thing, not just through Jesus' name as a gimmick or as a little fetish or something. You know, not that way. You're in Him. You're in His care. He gives His angels charge over thee to everyone that belongs to, always has. He kept Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Jacob says, the angel that redeemed me blessed the land. Blessed Joseph and blessed the land. Kept the angel that kept me from all evil. Now you see, that runs all the way through the Word of God. So we do need the angels, yes. Our time is so close, I guess I better not start on another one, but I will pick up these next two, and they will also answer some that we were just about to look at in our test. Diane Duval. Yeah.
You hear?
Russ?
Yeah.
Do you have my questions?
Yes, but I'm not through with them yet. I mean, we're going to be looking tomorrow.
You already talked about yours.
Well, then you should have.
No, I don't.
Huh?
Just like when I had a
Well, I wouldn't know.
See, that's why I was wondering if you.